You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn and Ross Briley with you to preview Tuesday's action. Fakenham, Lingfield and Suddle, the three meetings on Tuesday. There's no Wexford. That has been abandoned already due to a waterlogged track. But we've got two races at Lingfield and one each at Fakenham and Suddle to preview in just a few moments. We've also got a Monday jury to look at with six questions for Mr. Briley to tackle. Mr. Briley, hello.
Hello, Mr. Dunn.
We meet again.
We do.
Spent a lot of time in your company in the last few days.
Well, this love affair can't go on forever, can we? We might as well take advantage while we can.
Exactly.
While we're young, Alex.
Well, one of us is. How old are you now?
One of us is, but you wouldn't know which one to look at.
I look like I could be an older brother.
Yeah, without the shadow of a doubt.
8 years between us.
You look like you could be a kindly uncle.
Maybe I am.
Maybe you are.
We'll start with the Monday jury, because that's going to... I was going to look back at the weekend's action, but the Monday jury does that, actually, quite nicely.
Yeah, it does, pretty much, yeah.
We're going to steal this feature from the Racing Post, as we do every Monday.
Do you think they mind?
I don't think they've noticed.
No.
I don't think many people listen.
Might tweet them.
No, don't. Don't, because it's quite a good feature. It's the only one that we've got.
We'll have the post-Sunday discussion.
Yeah. Using rather similar questions.
Yeah.
First question. Sprinter Sacra. Is he back?
You're going to have to... No, we have to alter it slightly.
Oh, right, okay. Well, can't change the horse name. Sprinter Sacra. Has he returned?
That's exactly what I would have gone for.
Because, of course, the horse who had many issues over the last couple of seasons looked to be somewhere near his best when winning the Schlur Chase yesterday.
Exactly. And who doesn't love a good bottle of Schlur? Well, he wasn't back to his best. I don't think he'll ever back to his best. I just don't think that's possible. We'll never see the heights that he was showing in the spring of 2013. But it was almost an identical performance to what he showed when winning the Victor Chandler Chase back in 2013, back in January. He beat Summersby by 16 and a half lengths, essentially, on that day. And they gave him an RPR of 178 for that, and he beat Summersby by 14 lengths on Sunday. So it wouldn't surprise me if it was roughly the same. Now, bearing in mind, last year he ran to RPRs of 170 and 163. That would suggest he's on his seasonal reappearance. He's the best part of half a stone, if not more, better than he was last year. I think the key thing for Sprinter Sacra was his jumping yesterday. From the word go, I was keen to be a layer, I'll be honest with you. But after three or four fences, I completely changed tack and ended up backing him because I thought, he's back. This is him. This is every single fence was jumped with enthusiasm. He wasn't too fresh or keen either. He settled in beautifully. His main market rival, Simply Ned, he just isn't quite good enough, so that did help. And admittedly, he beat horses who he should be beating.
Nevertheless,
weight of horses that he should be beating.
They are very, very solid yardsticks if they're not absolute superstars.
They are, yeah, but he's receiving £10 from Mr. Mole, for God's sake.
If you'd have said that a couple of years ago, then...
Yeah, you'd have wondered what on earth had been going on.
Yeah. I think what was most pleasing, though, was the way that he found as well.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Because turning for home, you thought, ooh, hang on, is he going to just fall in a bit of a hole here? And in the end, I
honestly never thought that. Not for a second. That's the first time I thought that, because he looked like his old self. And that's what when he was his old self, that's what he would do. He would cart himself into the lead and he'd never get anywhere near him. But that's the first time for a long time since I've thought that.
Okay.
So... is he back? Yes. Will he scale the heights of March 2013? No. That doesn't mean he can't possibly have one last hurrah.
He's 3-1 for the Queen Mother Champion Chase at the Cheltenham Festival. I know it's some way off, and he'll have probably other runs between then and now, but Undersell, the 6-4 market leader, 6-1 dodging bullets, and 12s or bigger the rest.
I think they'll finish first and second in market order, personally. Dodging Bullets is going to have an interrupted season, and there's not too much in there to get me overexcited about anything.
There's only really Simon Sigg who could, potentially, but he needs to show.
Yeah, and Vibrator Voltat, who I think was burned by his first Undersow experience last year and will probably be a little more savvy this time around. But I think he will... I mean, he's an absolute place guarantee.
He can back quite the odd place, 1-2-3, if you want a maggot each way back.
Yeah, he's not the worst, yeah.
No.
He is back, which is nice to see.
Yeah. I mean,
it was a very impressive performance, and it was nice to see everyone get behind him as well.
Okay, next question. What happened with Faheen? Because just 5 minutes after Sprinter Sacro had bounced back, we expected to see another superstar adding another win to his belt, but not the case at all. Faheen looked a little laboured when finishing second to Nichols Canyon, who I think has been almost forgotten about in terms of, Faheen lost. Well, Nichols Canyon won and did a lot of things right.
Yeah, he did, but I think... Well, I think there's a couple of things here. I think some people pushed him out to 2-1. I think he's I don't know what he is, but if he's 2-1, he's
a champion hurdle.
Yeah, I think he's a brilliant bet.
2-1. 6-4.
Yeah, maybe not then. I mean, he's still all right.
Yeah, it's not the worst.
Well, put it this way: is two previous seasonal reappearances. Mm-hmm. One was in a maiden hurdle at Punchestown, where he was 1-5 and he barely came off the bridle. And last year he beat Blue Fashion at Ascot. Much easier track, much easier race. He was allowed to set his own fractions pretty much that day as well. Mm-hmm. It was over 2.5 miles as well, so there was less of an intense atmosphere for him to, or race style for him to have to come back to. So, and he improved the best part of, half a stone for his seasonal reappearance. He was up against a 4-time Grade 1 winner, who essentially got the run of the race himself. And being an ex-flat horse who's been on the go for a little while, he's a little bit smaller, Nichols Canyon. He's probably a little bit easier to train. He's probably easier to get fit. Mm. And I thought he was giving a great ride by David Mullins. What happened with Foyne, he was beaten by a very good horse on his seasonal reappearance in sticky ground at Punchestown.
And you would forgive the majority of horses that...
Yeah. It's only because he's 1-6 and he's 4-1. He's... Obviously, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. Mm. It was a bit of a laboured performance from him. I agree. However, I wouldn't be getting too worried about him. Again, they gave him he got an RPR of 161. Bearing in mind last year's seasonal reappearance, he got 160. Mm. So apparently, he ran to roughly the same as he did when he reappeared last year. But he was beaten by a horse with significantly more ability.
And only, half a length, was it?
Yeah.
He's not been trounced by any
means. No.
And actually, after the jump the last, I thought he might get back up.
And, I wouldn't be that worried about him.
Okay. Well, he's 6-4 for the champion hurdle. Nichols Canyon, 6-1. Big price for, wouldn't say a place banker, but he's... If he runs, you're going to get a run for your money with him, aren't you?
I was just going to say about Foyne, about, like, for example, Vortor last year had a not seasonal reappearance, but had one shocking run and then came back and was even better. So if you fancied Foyne beforehand, you should fancy him again. Nichols Canyon, if you've missed the boat,
yeah,
I think you're going to the funeral. Mm. If you didn't think, I might take a chance on the double figure odds,
yeah,
I think you've missed the boat. Personally,
okay, no, that's fine.
I think Foyne will win the champion hurdle again.
Okay, and as such, 6-4 is a decent price.
Yes,
yeah, okay.
If you want to bet a 6-4 shot,
that
and wait 4 months,
yeah, anything could happen.
Yeah,
can World Hurdle winner more of that? Now favourite for the RSA Chase, fly as high over fences as he did over hurdles.
Yes,
he was very impressive, wasn't he?
Yeah, I liked him.
6-1 he is for the RSA.
Well, not similar to Sprinter Sacra, but in the same sense as that he had a frustrating year last year. Sometimes
you just prove, didn't he?
Yeah, but you just have to. Sometimes you just have to write a season off with racehorses. And bearing in mind that while he did make his debut in 2012, he'd only raced 6 times since then. He went from 2 handicap hurdles to a grade 2 hurdle to winning the world hurdle in the space of 5 or 6 months.
And he was 25-1 for the first of those, wasn't he?
Yeah. He was, sorry?
Was he 25-1 for the,
yeah, for the first maiden hurdle, yeah. He potentially has the danger of being a, I don't know, one of those young prodigies, a footballer that comes through, has a fantastic few years, and then almost his exertions catch up on him. That was the worry for more of that. But I thought he was very impressive the other day. He beat a good solid yardstick in Asda Mee, who was well backed and clearly well fancied. I think he can definitely scale hearts. He's so inexperienced and so lightly raced that we don't quite know how good he is yet. The only thing for the RSA is I like to see a battle-hardened customer. I would like to see him have a couple more runs to prove that he's definitely up to the grade.
Which he may do.
Which he may well do. Give him a couple more, at least give a couple more over a 3-mile trip, and then we'll be see if we're talking a real life challenger.
Okay. Now, you may have already answered this question, but give us a festival winner from the last 3 days at Cheltenham and Punchestown.
Well, yeah, 14, yeah.
Would you say?
Well, I just think he's probably the best bet of of all of them.
I think it's really hard to put up a horse from a handicap point of view or anything like that, because you don't have a clue how horses are going to fare between now and what is the end of the season, isn't it? The season's just started.
It's a very frustrating question, actually, because it's like, no, you pick your own. Mm. The only other horse who could be of interest is Un Temps Pour Tout.
16 for the RSA.
I think he's interesting given the fact that every single one of David Pipe's horses ran below par this weekend. He was the only one to show anything like his true form. Mm. And I don't think things went particularly to plan for him either. So he's a potentially big prize at 16-1.
Okay. We'll look ahead then to Saturday's action. How do you see the clash between Sylvania Conti and Q Card in Saturday's Betfair Chase? The top quality jumps racing just keeps on coming now, doesn't it?
It's not a clash.
No?
No, Sylvania wins.
Okay. Even money, Sylvania Conti, 11-4 Q Card. 8s for Ballinagore and Dynast, 10s for Holywell, 16s Menora, and 20s O'Phelan's Boy.
Yeah, I just think he's a real monster when given his condition, Sylvania Conti. Past couple of years, he's been beaten at Cheltenham and he's been beaten on his seasonal reappearances. He's won every other single race without ever really looking in trouble. He was left behind by Sylvia Narco Conti on 2 occasions last year, both at Haydock and Kempton was Q Card. And I think Paul Nicholls' charge will win again. Mm. It might well be his final season on top, but we still don't have a true challenger coming through, really. I can't see anything that suggests, nothing necessarily to suggest that Q Card is going to be good enough to beat him. Even when Q Card, you know, was running the best races of his life, when he won this race back in 2013, even then, he then went on to be beaten at Kempton.
I was going to say, he beat Sylvania Conti in this race in 2013, but that was Sylvania Conti's first run of the year.
Yeah, and he's every season he's come on for his first run. Mm. And I think that's specifically why they ran him over.
Spotted it. And
we know he's not going to win, so give him that spin. So as much as I love Q Card, I think Sylvania Conti's a bit of a beast in those conditions.
And his record with cheek pieces on as well has been impressive. The only losses at the festival, and of course the hurdles one. But I was actually at Aintree, and I've been a huge fan of his all his career. Didn't back him, of course, in the bowl, and that rankled. To be honest,
rankled.
You shouldn't leave your favourites alone. You shouldn't. You got to stick with them. And Sylvania Conti even is one of those horses. So you're saying even money, not the best price in the world, but he'll take the beating.
Let's have a double. Sylvia Narco Conti to win that and Foyne to win the champion hurdle. There you go. That at least boosts out that 6-4 to make it worth waiting for.
It'll still take a while, but...
Yeah, it will, yeah.
Okay, final question. Should female riders get a £3 allowance, as Tony McCoy suggested?
Possibly, yeah. I think it's definitely worth looking into.
Okay.
obviously there's been a lot of chat about this recently, Hayley Turner and Michelle Payne and Nina Carberry hitting the headlines over the weekend. I think it's definitely worth looking into. Anything that would encourage more female riders to get into the sport, I think has to be looked into, because, again, I don't know if you've noticed, Alex, but there's roughly a 50-50 split in the world.
There or thereabouts.
And we've got, what, one professional female jockey, jumps jockey, Lucy Alexander, would that be fair?
I can't think of any more off the top of
like
my head.
Like a true, yeah. The one that's written that, you've got Lucy Gardner, you've got a couple of who are still claiming, but...
Gina Andrews, but she's...
I mean, it's a bit more balanced on the flat, but no, I think anything that's...
It still isn't balanced, is it?
No, it's a bit more balanced, but it's not even close to balanced, no. I think anything that encourages more female participation in the sport is definitely worth looking into.
Well, Nina Carberry's interview on Channel 4, did you see it? I didn't see it, no. She was asked by Mick Fitzgerald, you know, and she went, I'll take it. If it's been offered, I will take a £3 claim any day of the week, because she just wants winners. And she's, well, imagining, say, the Fox Hunters. If Nina Carberry's taken £3 of a horse, not only is she probably the best jockey in the race.
Well, yeah, but would it work in...
Well, who knows? We're not making the rules.
No, it's true, yeah.
But...
Yeah, I think it should definitely be looked into.
Okay. No, fair enough. An interesting one to jury. Would you agree?
Yeah, I agree, yeah.
Sometimes we have the questions and they're a bit sort of like...
Sometimes you're struggling for genuine opinions, aren't you?
Yeah, but this one, it's... Well, I think it's the first weekend of the jump season where you finally go, whoa... It's all sort of clicking into gear now. Because Charlie Hall weekend, as good as it is, you're looking at it, you're still sort of finding out. You're still, as far as I'm concerned, a little bit not used to seeing horses jump over a fence, because you're used to seeing them run over 6 furlongs. And it's lovely. I'm glad it's back, Ross.
Well, good for you, Alex.
From top quality jumps racing to Tuesday's action, which, it's not as good as Cheltenham, although... We're going to look at two races over jumps and two on the flat. The two jumps races were lacking in runners, but they're not bad.
One of them is awful.
Okay, one of them is okay.
One of them that you've picked is awful, and I'm blaming you for it.
Okay.
The 12.55 at Suddle is fine.
Good, we'll start there. Suddle's 12.55 is a novices limited handicap chase over almost 3 miles. We've got 5 runners going to post, but there are some really nice types near us.
Yeah, I like Seldom In. He ran a really nice race at Kelso on his chasing debut. Strong form over hurdles and has improved since stepping up, beaten by 1 for Arthur last time out. That form's not exactly rock solid, but I thought he was going to win. He seemed to just need the run. I thought he was interesting at a big price. Capar King's obviously going to be of interest from John Joe O'Neill's stable. Hacked up at Air last time we saw it, and very much on the upgrade. Interesting to see how Richard Johnson gets on. AP McCoy's the only jockey to have won on this. And King's Odyssey, also of interest as well. He's only would have made an hurdle, but then he's not really had a chance to do anything else, and he's got the size and scope to make a chaser. So, respect for King's Odyssey in particular, but Seldom In, I thought, could be overpriced.
Okay, Sandy Thompson, Seldom In, the pick in the 12.55. We'll move to Fakenham next for the 140. It's a mare's handicap chase. We've just got the 4 runners going to post. But 4 horses, Ross, that arrive here off the back of, well, a third place or better. That said, you would think that the top 2 in the handicap, they're miles clear on official ratings. Emerald Rose and Ballydeg Lady. Do you make it between those two?
Yes, I do, yeah. Preference for Ballydeg Lady. She's just starting to run herself back into form. She had a good little run of things at the back end of 2014, but has struggled since then. But I thought it was a good run back to fences last time out. She's finished second to a horse called Houston Dynamo, who'd come into it off the back of an unfortunate second at Kempton and was a deserved success that day. But most importantly, there were 23 lengths clear of the third, and it was a real front runner's paradise on that occasion. I think it was soft ground all over the country, and I think the first 6, 7, 8 races over the jumps everywhere were won by front runners. Nothing was getting past anything in freshly soft ground. I think she was struggling, to be fair, to make up ground. But Emerald Rose is clearly a danger, a winner here last time out. But I think that form isn't quite as good. So I'll go with Ballydeg Lady.
Okay, Ballydeg Lady for Neil Mulholland, who's just coming into a bit of form as well. Had been having a bit of a barren spell, but a few winners over the weekend and maybe another one there. We'll move to Lingfield then for the final two races we're going to look at. First up is a handicap over 6 furlongs. We've got 11 runners going to post for this one, Ross. And although a few of these like to place more than they do win, that almost makes it more competitive. What do you think is going to stick its head in front this time?
Yeah, it's a good race. Colby Hamey is dropping down in grade. He's of interest, beaten at Doncaster, but 2 good runs before that and good all-weather form as well. Showtime Star likes it on the all-weather as well, but I'm going to go with Fairway to Heaven, who's probably a bit harder to win with than I would have liked. He has only won once on the all-weather from 9 starts, but he's running some good handicaps over the past few years. He's here off 83, bearing in mind he was running at this time last year off marks in the low 90s behind the likes of Lancelot Dulac, Barracuda Boy and Pretend, all listed class horses, really. This is a significant drop in grade for him on his return to the all-weather. He ran well on the turf last time out as well. He's got blinkers on for the first time. He's got a nice little box in 6, and I think he's going to rate a fair each-way bet.
OK. Cheek pieces on for the first time last time, blinkers on for the first time this time. Is that a positive for you?
Yeah, well, he ran his best race for a while with cheek pieces on, so hopefully a bit of added extra cover might perk him up even more.
OK. Lingfield's 150 is the last race we're going to look at. It's a handicap over a mile and 2 furlongs. We've got 9 going to post for this one. And there are some nice types, some respected connections in this as well. It's probably the best race of the day on, best race on Lingfield's card anyway, if you are a fan of the all-weather stuff. What's going to win this one?
I'm going to go with Mythical Madness, who is a horse who's clearly best fresh. He was narrowly beaten on bang on the line on his debut last season, and then his debut this season he won very nicely over at Windsor. Since then he's running some half decent handicaps. He was well beaten last time out with the first time visor up at Ayr, but trying to make the running on the round course at Ayr is very difficult indeed. He's been given a break since then, and I think he is very much of interest in this week of race. One Pecan's going to be a big danger, but he's still yet to win in 4 starts on the all-weather. He looked a little bit awkward at Chelmsford. Ansar might be a bigger danger. He very much is an all-weather specialist. He likes it round here at Lingfield. In fact, his record here is 2nd to a very progressive horse from the Charlie Appleby stable in the shape of Gold Trail. And then he won over this 10-furlong distance. He then ran in a listed race, so he's clearly a good horse on his day at this track. Ansarb is a big worry, but I'm going to go with Mythical Madness on his return.
OK, the Godolphin Charge in Lingfield's 150. Great stuff, Ross. Enjoy all of Tuesday's racing, and we'll speak to you soon.
See you later, Alex.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.